Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Monday, January 20th, 2025. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the chapter Into Action on page 73, the first paragraph beginning with, "More than most people," and we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph, ending with, "But knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it." Today's readers are Mary F., The 12 Steps, Karen K.'s reading The 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Susan S.H. in the text, Chanel T. on page 164, and Karen K. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Hanietta R., and our second hour moderator is Jeannie B. The share ID for Sunday, January 19th, 2025, is 22,091. By way preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which were suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary F. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Mary F., a compulsive overeater calling from Virginia. Here are the steps we took as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to all compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass.
Thank you, Mary. I will now ask Karen K. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. I'm Karen K., recovered compulsive eater from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer. The 12 traditions of OA. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there's one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is there be a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, excepting in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. five, each group has one primary purpose: to give a message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name never ought to be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on traction rather than promotion. We need to maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media communication. I cannot talk today. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. Everest reminds us to place principles before personalities. And I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Karen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 again to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Into Action on page 73, the first paragraph beginning with "More than most people," and we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph ending with "But knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it." I will now ask Susan S.H. to begin reading.
Good morning, Rick. Thank you for your service. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered for the day, not cured. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. A short paragraph, but it applies to me. It applies to me. In my disease, that was always me, the double life, the actor, working to look a certain way and feeling much less than that. That's not emotional sobriety, but emotional sobriety is what I aim for, is my goal. But I find that I'm still human, and I haven't attained sainthood yet. The times I find difficulty in adhering to all these things are the times I get a beautiful view when I admit to my higher power, this is what's going on, I'm acting, please show me the next right thing. I get a beautiful view of how God does for me what I can't do for myself. I can't make myself be good. I can't make myself adhere to all of these things all the time. But I can turn to my higher power. I have directions how to access the power that I lack to be the person my higher power would have me be. And those difficult times are the times that make that so clear to me. Pain is the touchstone of all spiritual growth. And it certainly seems to be the case for me, because pain really sends me that much faster to my higher power. And so to help, so to guidance, so to love. And I'm very grateful for what this life has given me. Very grateful today, and I will pass.
All right, thank you, Susan. Thank you for getting us started. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name and first initial if you'd like to share. Who would like to share what was read today?
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Melissa in New Hampshire.
Rachel
Ginger C. from Colorado.
Okay. All right. Here's who I've got so far, and I know I missed about half of you. I've got Lisa B., Melissa C., and Ginger C.
Jane F. in New Hampshire.
Who is from New Hampshire?
Christina J.
Jane F.
Jane F.
Rachel K.
And
yes.
Mary K.
Bonnie D.
Okay,
EFTC.
Let's see. And I've got Christina, Rachel, Larry. Okay, so. All right, Lisa B., Melissa C., Ginger C., Jane F., Rachel K., Christina J., Larry K. All right, did
Bonnie
I miss
B.
anybody?
Bonnie B. from Florida. Thanks so much.
Okay. All right. I knew there was someone there. Okay. All right. We're going to go with that lineup. Lisa B., you are up first, then followed by Melissa C. And when you introduce yourself, please remember to include where you are calling from. Lisa, you are up.
Well, good morning, Rick. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm here in South Carolina. And there's a lot of Lisa B's, so I always spell my name. It's L-E-S-A. I really love this reading because it talks about the actor, and that always takes me back to, you know, page 61. And I really identify with this reading because I really learn on a regular basis, especially when I'm doing my inventories, that I am often trying to run the show. I'm being the actor, and the way I do it is I'm still trying to make my arrangements, you know, come out the way I want, but this time it's with the way you perceive me. And it's coming from a place of a lot of places. It's coming from a place of fear. It's coming from a place of selfishness and self-absorption, in that, you know, I want to look good. And it's a lie. It's based on this lie that I can still go to, which is I'm a victim of the delusion that I'm going to be able to wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this very temporary world and the people of this world. If I manage well, if I manage the way you're perceiving me, you know, and I often do it by trying to be kind and considerate, patient and generous, even modest and self-sacrificing, but I'm still being very self-seeking and I'm not relying on God. And it creates a knot and a tension and an anxiety inside of me. And yes, I know in my heart I don't deserve it. And, you know, that's why I love to live in steps 10, 11, and 12. And the longer I'm here and getting a deeper understanding, I see the value of digging deep in the inventory process and getting to the root, you know, which is what we're uncovering here. And I share it with a recovered fellow. Of course, I share it with God. And then I continue on in the steps. But this is something that can still go on. I'm still very much the actor, and I'm coming from a place of being quite trying to be virtuous, you know, and all of that. And it's based in selfishness, self-centeredness, and fear. So, but I am abstinent. I'm recovered. I'm grateful today to have the life I have. Thank you so much. I pass.
Well, thank you, Lisa B. from South Carolina. Melissa C., you are up next, followed by Ginger C. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thanks so much for your service today. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York, but I'm actually in LA right now. Going to be traveling home this morning. So, you know, when I read this, for me, this is like one of those paragraphs that tells me that in order to live in the sunlight of the spirit, I cannot be dishonest about who I am. You know, now it doesn't mean that I have to tell the entire world every detail of my life. But, you know, if I am misrepresenting who I am, if I am walking around with secrets, if I am trying to get other people to like me, you know, and approve of me, which is normal, by the way, we're supposed to be, you know, that's kind of a normal condition to want to be liked and accepted. But if I'm doing it in a way that I am not actually being true to who I am, I'm worshiping reputation over my integrity. And I can't live like that, because those are some of the things that block me off from living in the summit of the spirit. Those are some of the things that, you know, that I put in place of living with freedom. And, you know, my experience has been that when I reveal who I am, you know, here's what happens. A, either you like me, you know, or B, you don't. But the person that you like or don't like is actually me, you know. And if I'm busy trying to sell somebody on an image that I believe that they want, you know, the person that they wind up liking isn't me. So I walk around actually never feeling accepted and never feeling liked, because the alcoholic, the addict, knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. Awful way to live, to walk around feeling in that, you know, kind of undeserving position. And thank God, I really don't want to live that way anymore. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Melissa C. from New York. Ginger C., you're up next, followed by Jane F. Go ahead, Ginger.
Good morning, Rick. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. Thank you, and thank you for your service. And I am Ginger C., a real compulsive overeater in Colorado. Oh, my goodness, this double life that we live, right? I am so desperate for your attention, that you're going to like me and not leave me. God forbid you reject me. And I sell my soul for you, right? It's really called codependency. And thank God there's other rooms to work on this. But the worst thing I got to tell you, and was actually the greatest gift too, but the worst thing is to be, when I was on Vision, acting like I was recovered, still sponsoring, still sharing on the lines, and knowing I was being dishonest and leading a double life. And I wasn't eating the chocolate cake quite yet, but I knew I was eating stuff that's an allergic component that was not on my food plan. And I cannot tell you, thank God for the relapse, though, because I was so worried about my reputation and Vision. I just wanted to keep going. It felt good to get all the attention, because for some reason we give a lot of attention on a Vision for you. And to be honest today, to look the world in the eye, but more importantly, not to care what you think about me, to heal that pain that's in my skin. Doesn't matter the externals. As long as I'm good with God, I can go anywhere. But more importantly, I can look the world in the eye, and I can feel good about me. I think that's the ultimate 12-step recovery for anyone, is come home. You've left yourself a long time ago. You started eating that food when you were little. Come home. God doesn't create junk. And we get to come home and love ourselves the way that this God has always, always loved me. And that's the ultimate in recovery. And I am so grateful to be back with you people and back in this really authentic way. Because that's when our hearts really can connect. Because I can share my shit, and I'll tell you the truth, I'm not going to hide behind a pretty face and a family life and all this facade. I'm going to tell you I hurt and I'm real and I need your help, most importantly. Because what's disease most about? Isolation and separation. Takes me away from God and then takes me away from people. So I have great news. Yesterday I had 60 days, one day at a time. And that's because I finally conceded and took the first step fully, 100%.
That's a reminder.
Absolutely, we all need to do. So thank you so much. You guys have a great week.
Oh, thank you so much, Ginger C's from Colorado, and congratulations on your 60 days. It's awesome. All right, Jane F., you're up next, followed by Rachel K. Go ahead, Jane.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jane S. P. as in Sparks, and I'm from New Hampshire, and I am recovered today from this obsession with compulsive overeating and food behaviors, and just to be able to say that out loud is amazing, and all I can do is say thank you. I'm so grateful for this group. It's taken 8 or 9 years of in and out, and I think levels of surrender to get to the place I'm at today. And when I read this paragraph, I have it already written on the side. It says moi, meaning it's me. That was me. That was me. I came into the Fellowship of Recovery almost 16 years ago, and I've been in and out of this program in this fellowship for the past 15 years. And I've been back here now since June 1st. And I came back and I realized that God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. He led me to a place where I really saw honestly in myself that I was leading a double life. I looked good in the other program and everybody was like, oh, you're doing so well. But on the inside, I really honestly had not fully conceded that I was also a compulsive overeater and that I had a problem with this part of my life. And I was being blocked from God, and not completely, but my pipes were corroded, or I don't know how else to say it, but I was not living fully and I was not being honest, and I had not finished my amends, and I had really was not giving my will and life up because I was playing director. I was letting go on some things, but not on everything. I needed to let go with both hands and surrender and just accept who I am. I was saying I was walking in this authentic way, but I really truly wasn't. So I was lying to myself, to God, and to other people. And so on July 1st of last year, I came back. I jumped in with both feet this time. I jumped in the middle of the herd, and I did my step work, and I revealed to another person who I truly am. And only then could God really truly come in and start to work on me and really transform my heart, my soul, and the freedom that I have today from the work that I've done is amazing. And I still, every day, the time that I spend with God continues to show me how and where I can grow. And I know I have to cooperate today in that process, you know, so I do 6 and 7 every morning, and I really truly work and try to find a way to be self-sacrificing as I walk in the day today. So thanks for letting me share, and I'm just so grateful to be here with you guys, and thank you for all your shares. Bye, Pat.
All right. Thank you, Jane S. and Spark from New Hampshire. All right. Rachel K., you're up next, followed by Larry K. Go ahead, Rachel.
Thank you, Rick. Hi, this is Rachel K. from Indiana. Hi, family. This passage reminds me of that old saying that how can you tell when an addict is lying? Their mouth is moving. and that was really true. When I was in the food, I would lie when the truth would do just as well. But mostly I lied, and I love what everybody has shared thus far, but mostly I lied so I would look better. You know, I just wanted to look better. It was all about what you thought of me. And there was so much to remember. That's the problem with leading a double life or a triple life. It's like, I have to remember what version did I tell you? And what version am I when I'm with you? And what, you know, how do I act when I'm with you? And one of the gifts of recovery and of abstinence is I'm the same me. There's not so much to remember, which is good because I don't have a great memory. You know, when you don't lie, you know, I don't have to walk around remembering what, you know, my lines for this character and this character and this character because I'm not playing a character anymore. But that being said, with the caveat, I have to be vigilant and go to God to be honest, because fundamentally at my core, I am a dishonest, you know, and full of, you know, self-seeking fear. And so while now it is much easier to be honest, every once in a while that either the temptation to spin the truth so that I look better will come in, or I will actually spin the truth, or just tell a blatant lie to look better. And it's like, where did that come from? You know, I don't do that anymore. Where did that come from? And the beauty of this program is I have the steps. I have the 10th step, you know, that review every day where I can end my nightly review, and the 11th step where I can look at where was I dishonest? You know, where did I tell a lie and catch myself and go, oh, I did that so that you would like me more. And, you know, how can I either make amends and tell the truth or going forward, be honest. So anyway, thanks a lot for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Rachel K. from Indiana. Larry K., you're up next, followed by Bonnie B. Go ahead, Larry. Morning, brother.
Morning, Rick. Morning, Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. Thanks for your service. Yeah, we do present that, you know, we lead that double life, you know. We present that stage character. You know, on the surface, when I came to OA, my life looked pretty good. It looked pretty good. I always say I looked pretty good on paper. But underneath, my life was a train wreck. This disease had just created confusion and havoc, and something always felt just off, just out of sync. And what I presented to the world was not the true, authentic self. What others saw was the conjured self. You know, we show that conjured self. And the 12-step process, you know, in this fifth, we're on the, you know, the fifth step here, it allows for the gradual emergence of the truer version of ourself. Melissa talked about honesty. That's really where we get to this place when we work this process, is to a greater, you know, no one's perfect here, but we get to a healthier, more impactful, you know, place of, you know, and we're not carrying that crushing burden of the conjured self. And it's only when we're defeated, only when our life implodes, do we realize that we, you know, that we were wrapped so tightly in layers of have-tos and shoulds and never cans, you know? And over time, the disease got worse and worse, and I became immobilized. And rest assured, the big book teaches that the disease is clearly so much more than merely a problem with a substance and the behaviors surrounding that substance, right? I think there's three different, you know, stories we tell ourselves or about ourselves. We have our personal story, you know, the first story of how you hope to be seen in the world. You know, we craft and cultivate a persona. And then we have the hidden self, that second story we tell ourselves. You know, this private self, it represents the, you know, those inner drives, motives and fears and aspirations and all that kind of stuff. But then there's the unknown self. And this is what the process that, you know, the story of the self of the undiscovered you, you know, the guy that God always wanted me to be. I always say, I said this weekend in LA that, you know, my daughter doesn't know the man. She doesn't know the hidden Larry. Now we're no one's perfect, but she knows that she's an adult, you know, she's almost 29, but there's something about the word vulnerability that repels us, many men in particular, but women too. And yet most of us, you know, we can admit that vulnerability is a good thing. It often leads to positive outcomes, and it unblocks us from the sunlight of the spirit, this vulnerability. And that conditioning runs so deep. It runs so deep. So we have to work these steps. And yes, we have to get to the fifth step. And we practice vulnerability with it. And we, you know, and we're really starting out with the truth. We uncover the truth about ourselves and we build forward, and God helps us to do that. We become honest and we become just another grain of sand among many grains of sand. I am no better than anyone. I am most certainly no worse than anyone. That's what the program teaches me. And I don't need food today, okay? That's a great thing. But so many other beautiful things unfold when we enter the sunlight of the Spirit. With that, I pass. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you so much, Larry K. from Illinois. Bonnie B., you're up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for your service, Rick. Bonnie B., recovered by the grace of God today, living in Florida. So this, to me, was survival. I don't remember anything. You know, sometimes I wrestle with the fact that I have so few memories of growing up. Part of it was due to, I think, the environment, and I just think I survived. But it was survival. It was survival. It's what I did. I had to put on a show. You know, when I made my amends to my older sister, she said to me, "Man, you seem to have it just totally pulled together. Always. At all times. This is what I did. This was my entire life until I came into program." And yeah, it was because on the inside I was literally dying. I did not know who I was. I know who I thought people maybe wanted me to be. I had an idea of who I wanted to be as a follower of Jesus, but I knew deep down I wasn't living it. But I was, man, I was going to prove it to you that I was on the outside. And it took every second of every single day to live that life. Coming into program gave me something I never had before, which was the gift to be able to, like, take a deep dive. Because the question wasn't whether or not I wanted to be honest. The question was, how do I do it, and what are you going to think of me if you really know me? And deep down, I was trying. I was trying to, like, show up being who I thought people wanted me to be, but it was always an outside-in job. And this program has shown me it's an inside-out job. If God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. I wanted to. I went from I must do this in this program to God dropping into my heart, I want to do this. I want to do this. And so when I come to God on a daily basis, I no longer have my list. I offer him my heart. And I know that he is pleased because I want to imitate him. I want to sound like him, think like him, act like him. I want to show up as the child that he created me to be. Some days the execution is less than perfect. In fact, there's never a perfect day. That's why I've got the steps. But I know that he's pleased because I give him my heart. And there's no more, I don't live in that world of strings attached. I can ask God to do for me what I know that he wants to do for me and trust him for his timing. And this is part of that authenticity that I never had before. And this program has offered that to me. There's no strings attached when I do my step work with people. They love me where I'm at, and that's the God. I mean, that's God showing up through them. And so I appreciate each and every one of you so very much. And you've all been part of my recovery, and for that I'm grateful. And for that I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Florida. Okay, before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter Into Action on page 73, the first paragraph, beginning with "More Than Most People." And we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph, ending with "But knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name and first initial if you'd like to share. Who else would like to share what was read today?
Nicole
T. I missed everybody.
Nicole
Chanel T.
Okay, got Pete. And then who are the other that were right there?
Nicole
T.
Gosh, this is, sorry guys. One more time.
Nicole.
Lisa M.
Okay, I got Nicole and Lisa M. Okay.
Chanel T.
Chanel T. Okay. Anybody else? Well, we'll get some more after these four. All right, I've got Pete B, Nicole, I missed your first initial, Lisa M, and Chanel T. Pete B, you're up, followed by Nicole. Go ahead, Pete, and just remember to introduce yourself with your last initial and where you're calling from. Go ahead, Pete.
You got it, Rick. Thanks for taking the meeting. Appreciate your service. My name's Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy, and I live in Pennsylvania. And, yeah, you know, just because I put the food down and I'm weighing and measuring and I'm making the calls and showing up to the meetings and doing all those things, those doesn't mean that, you know, I still don't have illusions and delusions, and I'm still not riddled with self-deceit, right? Especially particularly where we are in the fifth step in this place, right? But many of us, including myself, go on and still have remnants of this illusions and delusions. Right, and it goes on, and you know, to a certain degree, it plays a role, right? Because on any given day, I could show up as, you know, lack of confidence, lack of who I am, forget that I'm a child of the Most High God, show up, you know, afraid to show up and speak my mind, right? And you know, to a certain degree, we need to act differently, you know, because that I believe things that are not true, and what is true is that I am a child of the Most High God. I have been relieved of the most deadly, horrible disease on the face of this earth. I do have freedom. I do have everything that this program says I will have. Right? You know? So, you know, just because, you know, I'm in a fit, healthy body and I got a nice shine on with the right clothes, you know, the right makeup and got my shit appearingly together, right? And if I show up, I'm inauthentic, I'm disingenuous, I set expectations with people that I can't live up to, describe myself as being something that I'm actually not, right? I'm delusional, right? And what I do is I step on the toes of my fellows and they retaliate seemingly without provocation because I'm not the person who I let you know I am. And I fall short. And that creates a something inside me, whether I'm eating or not, right, that makes me unable to face the world, right? Because not only have I let down you, I let down myself, and I've let down my God, right? We've all been created to be the individual that we are. We have our own unique fingerprints, DNA, personalities. We all get our own skills, character, all those things. But we have to be as authentic. The person who we were created to be. And that takes courage, right? And it takes just having faith that no matter what happens, if I'm accurate in my assessment of myself and I share that with somebody else, I can be me. I can be liked or disliked, right? We get to walk with pride and dignity. Everybody wants to be perceived in a certain way. But the only way to really be received as a certain way is to be the person who we genuinely are and not set unreasonable expectations or make somebody believe something that's not true because I want them to act and be a certain way.
Just a reminder.
You know, this program provides us with freedom to walk the way the Creator would have us walk, and I'm grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Pete B. from Pennsylvania. Nicole, you're up next, followed by Lisa M. And Nicole, please include your first initial where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Nicole S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. Thank you for your service today. And I have led this double life so much of my life and just really was the chameleon. Just tell me who you want me to be, and I will try as hard as I can to be that person. And how I perceived others wanted me to be. And what happened is I just lost myself in the process, and I never knew who I was. And even now I'm still trying to figure out who I am, who God made me. And in this process of doing that, it's just exhausting. And then, you know, I did so much of this because I wanted other people to like me so much, you know, to see that stage character of this person, and surely other people will like me. But what happened is the opposite, because when I don't show my true self, and it's dishonest, and then it actually deterred people a lot more than what I was hoping it would bring. And so I love these steps. It's really a process of you know, figuring out who I really am, and honoring who I am. And when I try so hard to be like another person, it's really telling God, my creator, that, wow, you messed up. And, yeah, I'm not good enough, so I need to try to be somebody else instead of really, you know, embracing who I am. And, you know, I found that many of my character defects can also be turned to strengths, you know, through God's help. So really try to know who I am, accept who I am, and be willing to just become all that God wants me to be. Thank you for letting me share.
All right. Thank you, Nicole S. from Colorado. All right. Lisa M., you're up next, followed by Chanel T. Go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa M., as in Mary, from the state of Virginia, and coming back from my first LA birthday party, and so happy to have met some of you there. So thank you, and thanks for your service. And on this paragraph, the word hypocrite just jumps out, and I think about the old theatrical performances where the actors had masks. You know, one mask was happy, one mask was sad, or one mask was angry, and one mask was another way. And they were portraying something that they truly weren't. And when I look at my life, I see that for sure. You know, the good church girl, you know, the one, I can't tell you how many comments I got about being so disciplined, so well put together. And for me, that's what I portrayed. I portrayed discipline. And in many areas of my life, I was. You know, I would eat the one square of cake or whatever at a party that everyone else was eating. They didn't see me eat the whole sheet cake at home in private, because I wouldn't let them see that. I had to portray. I felt like I had to portray something, and I couldn't let people see the real out of control person that I knew I was on the inside, especially concerning food, but in other areas of my life as well, as I'm seeing coming to life emotionally, so many other areas. So, yeah, I'm so grateful today that I can, that I don't have to hide, that I don't have to try to be somebody that I'm not, that I do, you know, mess up many times, and I don't have to hide that. I can be very honest and very open, and receive the help that I need, and just grateful. So thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa M. from Virginia. Chanel T., you're up next, and we'll see what kind of time we have left. Go ahead, Chanel.
Hey, thank you so much, Rick. And this is Chanel T. in Washington State. Grateful and recovered compulsive eater, but God. You know, I spent so much of my life with a filter, right? I was trying to be something other than the unacceptable self that I had. I hated myself. And so I didn't want you to see that self. So I would do everything I could for you not to see that self, pretty much everything I could. And recently, after 2 years, I got the gift of celebrating a milestone on Saturday. And it just reminded me what my sponsor said about recovery being progressive. The disease is progressive, excuse me, but so is recovery, thank God. And I'm learning as I go. I'm my real self, probably the first time in my life since, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years old. And I'm in being my real self. I am imperfect. Yep, I keep my ass freaking away. That's got to be, yep. But as recovery goes along, I'm imperfect. Shoot, middle of the night, my daughter dared to make some noise because she was up late, and I ripped into her. shockingly, and I wasn't even awake, that monster just came out. My self can mess up pretty badly sometimes, even in recovery. It's not like I am a perfect person. And you know what's amazing is that today I can be real about being my real self. I don't have to try to push that down and hide that. I can get to hundreds of people on the line. I can say to my daughter when she is awake today, wow, that was not okay. I'm sorry on every level. Make an actual amends to her, hear her side of it, and not hate myself for it. Yeah, I hate what I did. I do. And I hate a lot of things I did when I was compulsively eating, especially. At the time, I'm not that person anymore. I'm real. I'm imperfect, but I actually like me. It's an amazing thing. Because now that I like me, I'm able to love you a lot better too. I love me. I can love you a lot better. It's a beautiful thing for me. I wouldn't trade it. And thank you. With that, I will pass.
Thank you, Chanel T. from Washington. All right. Who else would like to share? We have time for a few more.
Lee H.
Carol L. Carol L, Florida.
Carol L.
What page, please?
We're on page 73, the first paragraph, more than most people reading that one paragraph. All right, so I've got Lee H. and Carol L. Who else? All right, Lee H., you're up, followed by Carol L. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you so much, Rick. This is Lee H., and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in Tennessee this morning. I think these shares have been incredible. The double life, it's always an issue for me. I've been in the program for several years, and I'm realizing that the longer I go, the less I want to be inauthentic. But I have this condition of falling short, and it will always be there. And so, you know, when I get in a hurry and I've got to be doing things, I will violate myself, you know. I mean, and that maybe comes, well, it does. It comes in forms of licking a spoon or standing up and, you know, tasting something. It's little stuff now. It's not the big stuff. And that's what causes me to not want to tell you, because I have this condition of falling short and wanting to hide. And so it is really, really important for me to, you know, I can tell myself, oh, this is just so picky and so, you know, this is just nothing and I don't want to bother my sponsor about this. But those are the kind of things that I still struggle with. And I have such a good life now and I want to be authentic. And so, you know, doing the inventory is really important every day for me. And I'm just so grateful for this program and for my higher power. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Lee H. from Tennessee. Carol L., you're up next, and we'll get another name. Go ahead, Carol.
Good morning. This is Cheryl L. from Florida. I'm grateful to be on the meeting this morning and grateful to hear all of your shares. Thank you, Rick, for sharing. Yeah, you know, the double life and, you know, the person that I showed the world was really, oh my God, it was really dishonest. You know, when I made my amends, you know, to my niece, you know, I pretended that I cared, you know, a tremendous amount for her and was willing to help her by giving her money. And in reality, I was doing that to keep her, you know, at an arm's length, to let her, you know, take care of herself. And I had this vision in my mind of what her life was going to be like if I helped her in this way. And it turned out to be so not that way at all. And, you know, how would God have me be? You know, God would have me be there emotionally and available to her, to just listen to her and not to try to fix all of her problems. You know, you know, every day I have to look at myself and I have to say, you know, what lie did I tell to make myself look better? You know, perhaps it was a gossip, you know, it was talking about somebody else, putting somebody else in a less than favorable light so that I would look better. The truth is, I don't know anybody's whole story. I did feel inside that I was letting down God and I was letting down others. You know, I have several degrees, and I always looked at myself that I never lived up to my potential. And so I had to be the actor, you know, to try to create this reputation for myself that I was smart, you know, and that I was capable and that I was able to do all kinds of things, you know, because I had these college degrees and because I, you know, I had this, you know, I was a good worker. And you know, some of this stuff is true, but my motives were all wrong. So that's something that I continue to look at today. And the last thing I want to share is that, you know, I frequently have been told that I'm very hard on myself. And the reason that I do that is, again, you know, leading that double life. I'm hard on myself so others won't be. You know, I frequently find it's easy for me to you know, to criticize my actions because if somebody else is doing it, it makes me feel even worse. So I'm hard on myself so others won't be, and I feel okay about myself. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol L. from Florida. We have time for one more. Who else would like to share?
Adrian N. from Florida.
Okay, who was right before the one from Florida?
Adrian N., also from Florida.
Okay, Adrian, go ahead. Sorry, I heard you start in first. Go ahead and just give me your first initial one more time, Adrian.
N as in Nancy.
Okay, go ahead, Adrian.
It's like this paragraph really hits me hard. I came back from a cruise yesterday, and I was discussing with my sponsor that I ate more than I usually eat. I ate things that I don't usually eat because usually I'm vegan and I wasn't on the trip. And I didn't feel, you know, the more I listened, the more depressed I got because I feel I have to tell on myself to feel honest. You know, I did eat compulsively. And more than that, I walked around looking at the food before I would pick. And that to me is very addictive behavior. You know, you know, looking back, I don't like the way I behaved. And it just didn't sit well with me to be so into the food, you know. I guess that's it. It's like, you know, I need to be honest with myself, but more so, I think I need to be honest with others to feel honest with myself. I pass.
Thank you, Adrian N. from Florida. And I think that was David M. from Florida. You got a minute if you want it, brother.
Rick, you think you might have heard Troy C. from Florida?
Oh, sorry, Troy. Okay, go ahead, Troy.
No sweat. I'll be quick. Troy C., compulsive overeater from Florida. And this is just exactly the paragraph I needed to hear this morning. I really appreciate it. I'm in step nine. I'm making these incredible amends. And then I have this event over the weekend where I'm essentially totally dishonest to somebody I really care about. And afterward, all the selfish resentment comes to mind. And I realize, oh, man, that Troy was driving. And I have this theory that I'm so dishonest, this program can't work for me. I'm such the manipulator. So this was exactly the paragraph that I needed to hear, that it's expected, you know, that this happens, and that's why I continue to work the steps. So thanks again.
Well, thank you for taking us out, Troy C. from Florida. All right, and thank you, everyone, for sharing, and thank you for this awesome meeting. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, January 20th, 2025, is 22,092. That's 22,092. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Chanel T. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Chanel, he'll hit star one. Chanel, if you're on there, I'm not hearing you.
Difficulty here. Sorry. Let me get my act together. My phone, I apologize, guys. 1 second. I'm so sorry. I don't think that my phone is going to work for this. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I've got it. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.